Welcome to the Auburn Community Church Podcast. We are so excited by all God has done through ACC in such a short period of time. We have heard countless stories of people discovering a brand new perspective on Jesus and being strengthened in their faith through what God is doing through our local church in Auburn, Alabama. If you or someone you know has been impacted by the ministry of ACC and would like to invest in all God is doing in and through our church family, we want to invite you to visit our website at auburncommunitychurch.com and click the Give tab to partner with us in seeing the love of Jesus change our community and our world. Thank you for partnering with us to help build a church without walls. We hope you enjoy this message.
God, if you have your Bible, we're going to be in John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John is the fourth book of the New Testament, fourth gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we're going to be in John chapter 10, verse 10, which is one of the most famous verses in the entire Bible. I would say I quote this verse at our church more than any other verse in Scripture, but I've never really taken the time to preach about the specific context of this line that Jesus said when he was talking to the Pharisees in John chapter 10, verse 10. So if you don't know much about the life of Jesus, what he was doing 2,000 years ago as a Jewish man was in direct opposition to the Jewish leadership of the time. And there were these elite leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and Jesus found himself pitted against them again and again and again. And in this moment, in John chapter 10, he is specifically giving an illustration that they would understand to show the difference between their leadership and his leadership for his people. And he uses the illustration of a sheep and a shepherd. And he says this in John chapter 10, verse 10. He says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." So a lot of people, when they quote John 10:10, assume that Jesus is talking about Satan. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Well, Satan does come to steal and kill and destroy. That is true. However, in John chapter 10, verse 10, that is not who Jesus is talking about. He's actually talking about the Pharisees, the spiritual leaders of the people of Israel, who were burdening the people of God with a burden called religion, with a burden called legalism. And Jesus was saying, what you're doing to the sheep is hurting them, but what I've come to give them as the good shepherd, I've come to give them life and life to the full. So if you're in church today and you're kind of confused about who we're singing about and why so many people are excited about this and why there's so much energy happening in this room, it's because we don't believe that Christianity is a list of rules and restrictions that we need to adhere to so that we can be good enough for God. That's called a burden. We believe that Christianity is a relationship by which Jesus has taken our place and come to offer us life and life to the full. Jesus is not trying to keep you from life. He's trying to give you the fullness of life. He's trying to give you the life you really want and the life he knows you can't have without him. And I've said that again and again and again. We will keep saying that in the life of this church. We have got to show people that Jesus is about life, the fullness of life, the abundant life. It's here. It's available. But then he says this. I've never looked at this like this. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The context of the life that Jesus is trying to give us happens in a specific illustration about a very specific relationship. And that is why we are starting a brand new series today called The Good Shepherd. This series is called The Good Shepherd. And I've honestly been sitting on this truth for about a month and a half. And I can't wait to talk about it because I'm preaching to the greatest felt need in the life of our church. The largest sin issue at Auburn Community Church that I encounter as a pastor again and again and again is the sin of anxiety and worry and fear. Our people are paralyzed. And this is not like a specific group of people that need counseling or need medication or need this or that. I mean, this is like rampant across every age group, every demographic, every income level, every section of our church is going super anxious, freaking out, super anxious, worried, super fearful, concerned about this, struggling with this. It's all in my head. It's all this and it's all that. And so I finally feel like God has given me the specific truth to counteract those lies. And it is this truth that Jesus is your good shepherd. I believe there is no truth in the Bible to counteract anxiety and fear like the truth that Jesus claimed to be your good shepherd. And you're going to see why over the course of this series. But let me say from the very beginning, I am not a medical doctor. I know some of you are shocked. You're like, really? You didn't have time to get that degree too? No. I'm not a doctor of anything. I'm not up here claiming to tell you what you need to do for your specific issue. I will leave that to professionals that you need to see about whatever your issue is. Everybody's issue is different. Everybody's brain is wired differently. However, I do want to clarify that anxiety and worry are sin. And this is a little touchy because it's kind of like sin that we're not ashamed of. It's the acceptable spiritual struggle. Kind of like if you're not anxious, then you're not doing it right. When in reality, Paul explicitly said, do not be anxious for anything. And Jesus explicitly said, Matthew chapter 6, do not worry about your life. And when we confess our sins, we're very slow to, we're not slow to confess, but we're slow to feel bad about this one. I'm just so worried. I'm just so anxious, man. I've been doing it. Okay. That issue was bled and died for by the cross of Jesus. And I'm not saying that you need to feel a level of condemnation. Jesus felt that for you. But I am saying we are way too comfortable struggling with this. And we are way too set in our ways going, this is just a struggle that I'm going to have. It's something that I'm going to fight through. And it's not something that really makes God all that mad. No. If Jesus came to give you life and life to the full, he did not come to give you a Christian life that is constantly paralyzed by fear and anxiety, keeping you from the fullness of life that Jesus has for you. If you're a son, you're a daughter of the living God. It is embarrassing to him that we are freaking out the way that we are. And it is overwhelming me to go, I know how anxious I am, and I'm hearing how anxious you are. We have got to let the truth of God's word wash over us in this area, and I believe that if and when we do, freedom is coming. I just want you to start to believe that. If you are so crippled by fear and anxiety and you are in church this morning, I need you to lean in and actually believe that God can set you free. Jesus said, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, you're going to hear the truth about Jesus' place in your life, but I need you to start to believe, even if for a second, that this can actually change and freedom can actually be found. I know a lot of you barely slept any last night. I know the stories going on in our church. And when you hear the baptism stories in a couple of weeks, you're going to hear anxiety, depression, anxiety, thoughts, harmful fear. And so we got to let the word of God set us free in this area. If you have your Bible in front of you still, look at verse 14. He goes on about this idea of being the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. So Jesus is trying to make this make sense to the Pharisees about how his leadership is different than their leadership. And he's continually hitting at this idea of a shepherd and some sheep, which is super unfamiliar to us in 2018, but very familiar to them 2,000 years ago. And he says, I give my life for the sheep, but then he says, I've got other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. What does he mean by that? He's trying to tell them, I am not just here for the people of Israel. I am here for the whole world, and I am here to become the shepherd of one flock. I'm the shepherd of my church, of my group that hear my voice and respond to what I say. Now, here is one of the most freeing truths in the Bible for people who are freaking out and desperate to hear truth about worry and fear and anxiety. Here it is. You ready? If Jesus is the good shepherd, what does that make you? A sheep. And this is exciting. It's a little demeaning, and it should be, but it's exciting. So that's why part one of The Good Shepherd, the title of this message is, I'm a sheep. I'm not joking. That's really the title. Could you look at the person next to you and say, I'm a sheep. Hey, could you look at the person you just ignored and say, you're a sheep too. You're all sheep. Now, in case contextually this isn't making sense to you or you're kind of a visual learner, I brought a picture of a sheep that we're going to put on the screen just to make this make sense. Look at this sheep, y'all. Look at this sheep. This sheep doesn't have a care in the world, man. Doesn't know up from down, right from left. He's just happy to be here, man. That's awesome. That's a sheep. Sheep are nature's victim. They literally have no capacity to, you know, leave that picture up there. We got to feel this. We got to feel this. Put that picture back. They have no capacity to defend themselves against any sort of predator. No defense mechanisms at all. They just lay there and walk around. On top of that, if they don't have outside help, their fur will grow so fast that it will render them immobile over time. Sheep can get so heavy that they cannot move. On top of that, they are so dumb that they will literally die of dehydration within feet of water. It's right there. They don't see it. And on top of all those issues, if they don't have help from the outside, they also struggle against pests and insects, because what will happen is an insect will fly into a sheep's ears, I'm not joking about this, infect their brain so much so that a sheep will die from banging their head against a tree or against the ground because they're literally going insane from the inside out. And you can laugh about every description I just gave you about the life of a sheep, but what I also just described without you knowing it is the life of an anxious Christian. I know Christians that are rendered immobile by the level of fear and worry and anxiety and stress that literally it causes them. I mean, literally, physically, I cannot leave my room because I'm so crippled by this. I know Christians who are not physically banging their head against the wall, but they would rather do that than think some of the thoughts that they are thinking and unable to control their own thought life. And I know Christians that are so bombarded by this issue that they literally believe that it is a predator. Think about a lion going against that sheep. Think if Mufasa showed up. That sheep is done. No shot at all. And that's how a lot of you feel right now, going, yeah, I do feel like I'm going crazy in my own mind. And I do feel defeated by every predator. And I do feel like there is no hope. Well, there is one hope for a sheep. One, only one hope. And that is the hope that they would have a good shepherd. And only a good shepherd has the capacity to simultaneously protect them from things they don't even know they need protection from, chart out a path for them that will lead to sustenance and give them the abundance of life over time that they can never possess by themselves. Look at verse 27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Sheep are completely defenseless and directionless without a shepherd. And that is why Jesus says, here's how this relationship works. Me and my Father give them eternal life. They listen to my voice and follow me. I hope that this lands the way that it needs to land. The simplicity of the roles that Jesus is trying to lay out here will set you free if you let it. My sheep listen to my voice and follow me. They do not figure out where they're going to end up. They do not chart a path. They do not defend themselves. They do not define their course. They just stay close enough to me to hear me and see me. Now, this is where this truth landed in my life about a month and a half ago. About a month and a half ago, there was a couple that joined our church. And when I saw the membership covenant that they signed, which, by the way, some of you don't even know that. We have member covenants, and all they really are is for you to sign them and say, this is my home church, you're my pastor, submit myself to the authority of this church, which is great. I know a lot of people come from church backgrounds where you need that. Some of you are like, I didn't even know about that. Just sign it on your way out, and we'll follow up with you. But it is a serious thing to join the life of a church, but it's even more serious for me when I knew the couple for a long time. They didn't know I knew them for a long time, but I knew who they were, and I was shocked when I saw that they had signed a member covenant, because I was like, really? Like, a lot of y'all are crazy enough to let me be your pastor, but this couple, I was like, they're smarter than that. Like, what are they thinking? And I was like, oh, man, this is crazy. Thank you, Lord, for leading them to our church. So I had lunch with them. And the reason why I have so much respect for them is they've been connected to so many ministries and so many movements over the last 30 years. And I've heard stories, I've seen them involved with these things. And I was like, man, that's so cool that they're involved in the life of our church. Well, I went to lunch with them, and the lunch for them was supposed to be learning about ACC, but it ended up being a therapy session for me because I just had all these questions for them. And one of the main questions I had for them was about longevity in ministry. Because I am aware of how young I am to be doing what I'm doing. And I am also aware that most pastors don't make it over the long haul. And so I want to be, I'm 29 now, I want to be 59 and still preaching and still married. And my kids love Jesus. I want that. But I also realize I can't get that on my own. And I love how the older couples and families in this church have rallied around my wife and I and Matt Cole and his wife to make sure that we stay healthy. And thank y'all for being a place that does that. But I was asking them, I was like, I'm 29 and I am exhausted. I am super tired all the time, super anxious, don't know how this is going to work, tired of trying to figure out a venue that can fit us every single week, tired of dealing with my own problems on top of everybody else's problem. I'm just tired. How did you make it this far? And you love their response. The husband, he just laughed and looked at the wife, always a great response. And the wife responded, and she says, Miles, you are overcomplicating this process. She said, how we've made it this far is we never thought of ourselves as in control of the destiny that unfolds. We always held on to John chapter 10, where Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And that truth is so freeing, because if Jesus is the good shepherd, then that means it is no longer my job to plot out and figure out every detail about my path and future. It is now my only job to stay close enough to the shepherd where I can still see his face and hear his voice. And if all I ever do is get close enough to the shepherd where I can just hear him, if I can just see him, if I can just stay relationally connected with him enough, he knows where the water is. He knows where the paths that lead to life are. He knows where the predators are. He can see what I can't see, and he knows what I don't know. And so it's freeing, because it's not my job to go, these are all the things I need to do and then jobs that I can't miss and applications that I've got to fill out and things that I need to know and places that I need to go. It is just my job to go, can I see Jesus? And can I hear Jesus? And if I can see him and I can hear him, I have peace. Your lack of peace is not the result of a lack in control. Your lack of peace is the result of a lack of trust in your shepherd. And when you get to the place where you go, I trust my shepherd, I can hear his voice, I can see his face, then you trade in the Christian life that so many of us have become accustomed to, which is constantly bombarded by, how's this going to work out? And how am I going to figure this out? And what are we going to do? And I'm losing sleep and I'm freaking out and I'm stressed out too. You know what? None of that stuff that I'm holding on to is up to me. If he's the shepherd and I'm a sheep, think about that. He does not expect you to figure out anything you're worried about. He told you you're a sheep. He knows you're clueless. He knows you're desperate. And Jesus showed up and said, I'm the shepherd. All they have to do is hear me and see me. So my question for you today is this. What's the last thing Jesus told you to do? And where's the last place Jesus told you to go? Now, most of this room cannot confidently answer that question. And that is why we're anxious. But the reason why you can't answer that question is because most of the time we don't hear Jesus because we're so busy trying to control him. And that counteracts the context of the relationship, which is shepherd-sheep. So if the sheep's trying to tell the shepherd what to do, it breaks down the pathway. And no wonder the sheep's anxious, and no wonder the shepherd seems far away, maybe even absent. What's the last thing Jesus told you to do? Where's the last place Jesus told you to go? I don't know. Well, you don't know because you're too busy trying to grab his rod and his staff and define your way instead of curling up as close as you can to him and going, this is more about a relationship with you than it is an explanation that I need to figure out. And so if you want peace today, we just sang peace, bring it all to peace. We're trying to get people to a place of peace. You need to know that that peace is not waiting for you on the other side of control. You really believe if I just had control, if I had control of my kids, if I had control of the finances, if I had control. No, if control led to peace, your life would be chaos. More control is not going to give you more peace. More trust is going to give you more peace. If you need like a memorable way of saying that, here it is. Peace is not the result of controlling the story. Peace is the result of trusting the shepherd. Peace is not the result of controlling the story. Peace is the result of trusting the shepherd. Now, here's where so many talks, sermons, and songs about anxiety fall short. Because the answer is not, guys, trust the Lord. Why don't you trust the Lord? Just trust him. Your response to that line would be, I'm trying. But what in the world does it mean to trust God? This is, we got to be careful when we say these quick spiritual phrases that sound super understandable and super applicable, but people don't really know what to do with them. Oh, just trust your shepherd. Okay, supposed to hear his voice, supposed to see him. Can't do either of those because he doesn't have an audible voice or a visible face. This whole system is breaking down, and that is where you are missing what the meaning of trust is. What the meaning of trust is to see the face of God and the voice and hear the voice of God is to hold the word of God more than you hold the uncertainty of what you can't see. So when I say peace does not come as a result of controlling the story, it comes as a result of trusting the shepherd. How do you trust your shepherd? You hold on to the last thing he said to you, his promises that are true, and the truths that will unlock the certainty of the future into the circumstances of the present by going, I'm holding on to what you say more than I'm holding on to what I see. And see, what we haven't learned how to do is we haven't learned how to let the word of God shepherd us. Jesus is the living word of God, John chapter 1. And so what we need is for the word of God to come and set us free in this moment. And you're like, what passage do I hold on to? Like, what is the one? Well, we might as well look at the most famous passage in the Bible about a shepherd. If you have been in church, some of you are already turning there. I love it. If you've been in church, if you've been to a funeral, if you've been to a wedding, if you've been anywhere where the Bible is read, you've heard what I'm about to read. It's Psalm chapter 23. And it was written by a shepherd named David. If you have your Bible, it's in the middle, Psalm chapter 23. Go ahead and turn there. Short psalm. So here's what we're doing. We're learning how to trust the shepherd. We're learning how to actively trust the shepherd by holding on to what his word says. So if you're like, okay, part of it is I don't want to explain to you guys everything that happens in my mind. I want to teach you how to use your mind when you're alone with the word of God to go, okay, how do I hold on to the voice of my shepherd for myself? So we're talking about sheep. This is how I interact with the word of God. I'm going, Jesus is going, I'm the good shepherd. I know a passage about a shepherd, Psalm 23. So do you. It does not take a seminary education to figure that out. So watch this. Psalm chapter 23. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. You've heard these many times. And then we're going to let it speak to us. The Lord is my shepherd. That's funny. This was 1,000 years before Jesus was even around. That's because the Bible is coherent. It moves all the way through it with the same truths. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I think that's peaceful just to read those truths. But when you're reading those, in these verses, you now have a framework for how to handle your anxiety, your fear, your worry, and your stress. And before I jump into these points, there are so many great resources about anxiety. There's so many places beyond this series that you need to look. But this, I believe, if you will put into practice what I am about to lay out from Psalm chapter 23, this week you will be set free from a level of fear and anxiety and stress that you've never been set free from before. I promise you that. I believe that the word of God sets people free. And I believe when you know Jesus is your good shepherd and you're just a sheep, it's going to set you free. Before I give you these points, can you look at the person next to you one more time? Say, I'm a sheep. I'm a sheep. We got to remind ourselves. I'm just a dumb sheep. That's all I am. Okay? It helps. Trust me, it helps. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Number one, when you get anxious, in the face of confusion, search for clarity. In the face of confusion, search for clarity. Now, let me define the word clarity. Clarity in the dictionary is defined as the quality of being easy to see or hear. Isn't that interesting? The quality of being easy to see or hear. We want clarity when we're anxious, but clarity comes from seeing and hearing the voice of Jesus, not seeing and hearing the answer to your questions. So you're like, yeah, in the face of confusion, I want clarity. When I'm confused, I just want, can you just make it clear? Like, why is this happening like this? And what is it? No, the clarity that you need is the vision and the voice of God, not a clear explanation of why this happened and how this is going to unfold and where this road is going to end. Because clarity is not about circumstances. Clarity is about the voice of the shepherd. And so you need to stop saying, God, I need an explanation. You need to start saying, God, I need a revelation. Those are two very different things. God, I need you to explain. No, God, I need you to reveal. Reveal what? Reveal yourself. Because I know I'm a sheep and I know you're the shepherd, but I can't see you and I can't hear you. So I need something from you. Now watch this. Verses 1-3. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. If you are confused and anxious today, I would guess that you are probably confused and anxious about one of three things. You're confused and anxious about provision, you're confused and anxious about rest, or you're confused and anxious about your path, where you're supposed to end up. So all of these things are directly dealt with in these verses. If you are confused about provision, what do I mean about provision? I mean how God is going to come through and how God is going to provide. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Some of your translations might say, I shall not be in want. If you are confused about how God is going to come through on your behalf, there is a freeing truth to remember, and it is this. If he's the shepherd and I'm just the sheep, it is no longer my job to figure out where the supply is. It is my job to stay obedient to his voice in the here and now. Why? Because if I really need something, the chances are we're on the way to get it right now. And if I feel like I need something that my shepherd deems unnecessary, then what I thought I needed, I'm better off for not having it. If you're trusting the shepherd that you're following and you're going, man, I'm so thirsty. When are we going to have this? Man, we are so lacking. Man, there's a chance that as you're stepping toward the shepherd, that that's where he's going. So just keep walking and it'll be there. And if it's not there, you'll be better off for it. Amen. You'll either get it or you're going to have something better. And I'm either going to get it from God or I don't need it at all either way. But I know that there are groups of people in this room confused. How's God going to come through, especially financially? And if you believe that Jesus is your good shepherd, if you believe that over your business, if you believe that as a child of God, then all you have to do is trust that he is controlling the show. And I promise you, if you stay close enough to his voice, you'll have everything you need in the right time, and you'll have everyone you need in the right time. If you're struggling to believe God's provision for you to have a spouse, I promise you, if it's not him, it's better. I promise you, if it's not her, the one coming is better. But you've got to know, I'm following a shepherd, and he knows where we're going. He knows where the water is. He knows where the supply is. And if the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. What is David saying there? Is he saying, I have everything in the world? Well, he was a king. He had a lot of stuff. But he's not saying, I own everything. He's saying, I'm just a sheep. And whatever I need in this given moment, if I got a good shepherd looking after my path, it is exactly what I need for here and now. If I'm confused about provision, he's my shepherd, and it's probably on the way. If I'm confused about rest, I love this. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Man, anxiety and exhaustion are cousins. If you're here and you're exhausted and anxious, there's probably a relationship between your lack of rest and your lack of peace. And we are a people in a culture, in a country that have exalted and elevated 7-day nonstop work weeks, nonstop stimulation, nonstop, can't stop, won't stop, have to be on our grind. And what I love about this passage is it said, he makes me lie down in green pastures. What if you made your pursuit more about being in the arms of Jesus than you did figuring out where his hands are guiding? In other words, if you got yourself in the arms of Jesus, the chances are he's going to make you lie down. He's not going to ask nicely. Hello, he makes me lie down. You need to let yourself be with Jesus long enough to actually breathe and to actually rest. Why? Because God can do more with less when you are willing to rest. But if I rested, he won't come through. But if I rested, how are we going to pay this? But if I rested, oh, okay. How does Chick-fil-A outperform every other fast food restaurant on less days? Because doing it God's way produces more results in the end. And I always talk about how great Chick-fil-A is. I want you to know I do like Zaxby's. There's nothing like wings and things. Chick-fil-A does not have wings and things. Okay? And we have a family in our church that's big into Zaxby's. I have to spread it evenly. At the same time, God has the capacity to do more with less. If you are living a life that is nonstop, burnout to the end of yourself, no wonder you're anxious. And Jesus is going, hey, you are not meant to move at the pace of a shepherd. You are a sheep. And if you keep moving at this pace, you are not going to make it. You need to trust my pace and walk in step with me. He refreshes my soul. I love that. And if you're here and you're confused about your path, look at this. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. You ever been confused about which path to take? Which school do I go to? Which major do I pick? Which business do I start? Which school do we send our kids to? Which 401k? Which, I don't know. God, if you could just make the path clear. If you could just unfold, who am I supposed to marry? Did I marry the right person? Don't look at your spouse if you're already married. If you're married, yes, you did. You're right where you need to be. But am I on the right path? Here's what's great about this. He leads me on the right path for his namesake. God set me free when he showed me this. Where you end up on the path that you're on will reflect way more on the shepherd than it will the sheep. Where a sheep ends up reflects on the shepherd. If they end up in a terrible place, you look at the shepherd and you go, dude, what were you doing? If they end up in a great place, you don't look at the sheep and say, good job. Wow, you made it. You arrived. You look at the shepherd and go, you got that sheep right where it needed to be. So you need to know whatever path you're on right now, if you're close enough to the shepherd, where you're going to end up will reflect more on God than it will on you. So you're free to fail. Because the one that you're following took failure, a cross, and turned it into the symbol of ultimate redemption and victory. There is no path that you are on that cannot end in absolute victory. And I would even say the word success along with it. We get so fearful. Is it going to be successful? Am I going to succeed? Well, are you following the shepherd? Because the chances are every dead end he takes you to might be leading to a breakthrough. And every place that he takes you to that looks like defeat might end up totally in victory. And this helped me a lot when we started this church. I was so scared, y'all. I was like, man, if this church fails, that's going to reflect so much on me. I'm going to be the guy who started a failed church. But then the closer I got to Jesus, I started going, you know what? You know what, God, I'm going to pray this. If this church fails, it's on you. That's going to make you look bad. You want to make yourself look bad, God? Like, it sets you free in prayers. I'm like, I'm just saying, I stepped out in faith. Like, people don't normally do this when they're in their mid-20s. So you could tell an amazing story, or you could let me fail and leave me for dead, but you're my good shepherd. And so when I start to see the things that have been entrusted to me as more reflective on God's character than my own, it sets you free to do your role, which is what? Follow the shepherd, and you will be on the right path because he's on the path. Stop. I guess the last thing I want to say about this point, stop freaking out about clarity about God's will. God's will is here and now more than it is there and then. And so it's not that you're not going to get lost because, oh, I ended up in Charlotte and I was supposed to end up in Oklahoma City. I don't know why that would happen to you. Charlotte's a much better place to live, but I'm like, if you're like, man, I'm so confused about what city, I'm so confused about what's next, whichever one. If you're following your shepherd, you're in the right place. And where that path is going to end up will reflect more on who he is than who you are. So what does that mean for you? That means you can go to sleep. The end of the path is not up to you. You can rest well. So that was a long one. I'm going to be a lot quicker with 2 and 3. In the face of confusion, search for clarity. This was so good. In the midst of chaos, find communion. In the midst of chaos, find communion. And when I say chaos, I mean, I'm talking about big time stuff going wrong. David said, even though I walk through the darkest valley, but your translation might say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. All of these verses are about communion with God, with chaos all around. So God is not surprised that your life is surrounded with chaos. In fact, if you are a sheep, you should feel like everything around you is chaos. Think about being a sheep with like a storm coming down. A sheep's going, oh my gosh, we are about to die. A shepherd's going, this will be over in 5 minutes. And so your interpretation of the chaos is not his interpretation of the chaos, but your ability to seek communion will determine whether or not the chaos destroys you or defines your intimacy with God. See, because Jesus wants to invite you to intimacy with him in the context of chaos. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, some of you are like, well, if I'm following the good shepherd, why don't we not go through the valley of the shadow of death? Why don't we go around the valley? Why don't you figure out another path? okay? You set a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You're like, I don't want to eat with my enemies all around me. I just want to eat with friends around me. Why are we doing it like this? It's because you will experience a level of closeness and strength with your shepherd when you know that your only solace and comfort with chaos all around you is that your shepherd is right in front of you. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. In other words, if I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death and I still got the good shepherd right next to me, yeah, I'm freaking out about the valley of the shadow of death, but at the same time, he's still here. He didn't leave me. You walk me through it. What does that mean? That means it's going to end. Every valley and every storm ultimately ends. And on the other side of the worst things, the chaos that so many of you are going through, I just want to encourage you that God's got peace for you. I preached this message Thursday night in Birmingham, and there's a family from Auburn who's out there at Children's, and they have a little girl who was diagnosed with Down syndrome as a baby, and as she's gotten older, she's gotten so sick, and she's now fighting cancer. Looking at this mom after preaching this message, and she's going, that's it. That's it. Like, I look at how everything has happened with my daughter. Her daughter's name is Ava, by the way, and we need to be praying for her as a church. And I want to question, but at the same time, I so trust my shepherd in the midst of chaos. And yeah, we're surrounded, but that song we just sang, that's not cute lyrics on the screen to a mom who's going through that. She was singing, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. And actually knowing the reason why God is comfortable having a meal with you in the presence of your enemies is because he knows he's got your enemies surrounded. You think you're surrounded with them watching you? He's sitting at the table eating grapes going, oh, don't worry about them. They are completely done for because I'm at this table and I got them surrounded. They just don't see who's all around them. So I've come to make your enemies a footstool for your feet. You can sit and feel really confident and comfortable in the presence of anxiety, in the presence of lust, in the presence of fear, in the presence of cancer, in the presence of every single one of your enemies that are coming down on you right now. And I don't know who your enemies are. But I do know that the sweetest moments of communion with God happen in the hardest moments of chaos in this life. And so what you need to do when life gets chaotic, when things get scary, when you got questions, are you prioritizing communion with God? What is communion? It's a meal. You know, more than Jesus wants to have a business meeting with you, he just wants to have a conversation. So are you letting the word of God, are you letting your times with Jesus become more about a relationship and a revelation of who he is than an explanation of what he's doing? And then I guess the last thing I want to say about this is you're going to be okay. You are going to be okay. It is so, this truth of sheep and shepherd is so comforting for me because I found that if I have communion with God, everything else in my life is done at a high level. So I'm like, have all these different responsibilities that I fill, both as a preacher, both in our church, and but even outside of our church, and guest speaking at places, and even in my family, in my extended family. And I worry constantly about, am I doing my job? Am I doing my role at my best? Here's what I know. If I do everything that I'm supposed to do in this life as best I can without communion with God, it is wasted. If I have communion with God, everything else that I do is done at the exact excellence that God wants me to do it. How close you are to Jesus defines whether or not you're being a good principal, whether or not you're being a good lawyer, whether or not you're being a good mother. This is everything about your life. So you think, I'm so stressed, I can't have communion with God because life is so chaotic. No, life is so chaotic, so more than ever you need communion with God. And if I have this, everything else works itself out. So I'm a sheep in the face of confusion, search for clarity. In the face, in the midst of chaos, find communion. And then lastly, this one's so cool. In a world of competition, receive calling. In a world of competition, receive calling. Competition fuels anxiety. And we live in a world that is constantly looking horizontally at what everybody else is doing instead of receiving vertically what God has given to us. Do you know who wrote Psalm 23? David. David, the shepherd boy. Now, when David was a shepherd boy, he had seven older brothers. His brothers were to be presented by his father, Jesse, to the prophet Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 16, when Samuel was going to elect a new king of Israel. This is so cool, y'all. I promise I'm done, but you need to hear this point. This is so cool. When David's brothers were presented, Who's going to be the king? Who's going to get anointed? Which when you were anointed, you had oil poured on your head. Samuel did not pick any of the brothers and said, there's got to be another brother. God has not picked any of them. And then the father, Jesse, said, well, we have another son. I have an eighth son, but he's a shepherd. He's in the field. And he said, bring him. And we're going to anoint him in the presence of his brothers. So David had oil poured on his head with all of his brothers watching. Now I want you to hear this verse. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oil on the head has a double meaning in this verse. A shepherd would pour oil on a sheep's head so that those insects that fly into their brain would stay away. At the same time, a prophet pours the oil on the head of the anointed one who is to lead the people. You see what I'm saying? Even though you're a sheep, the fact that God has anointed you and poured oil of calling on your life sets you free from your need to prove yourself against your brothers, against your friends, against the Joneses, and against everyone around you, because your life's pursuit is no longer a competition to be better than, but a calling to be the best of you. And David's going, man, I wasn't even invited. And all my brothers are competing to get the anointing. I'm just over here with the sheep. And God loves that. He goes, I'm into anointing sheep. I'll anoint you. I've got something great for you. I wonder how many of you are stressed out and freaking out about the outcome of your life because you haven't come to understand that God does have a special purpose and significance for you. God does have a calling for you. And it doesn't look the same as David. At the same time, that's a good thing, because David showed up 1,000 years before Jesus was here. And Jesus has to say to you and say to me today, you don't need to freak out about the outcome of your life and story, because I got something special for you if you'll receive it. And so my hope and my prayer today as we trust in our shepherd is this: my cup overflows. What does that mean? That means I've been filled on the inside with so much from my shepherd that I no longer need to reach and compete and do everything for all of the likes and approval of everyone around me. I got all I need in the calling of the Lord who has given it to me. Receive that calling today, ACC. You can put your notes away. I promise I'm done. The band's going to come up here. And we're going to sing a simple song that turns over trust to God. Man, what would it look like if we became a church that actually believed the God of the universe was for us? This would be the last thing. You guys know I am not the prosperity guy. I'm not going to get up here and lie to you about, man, God's just got something great for you. Things are going to get better. You know what? No, like, you're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It is tough. You're going to be surrounded by enemies. Life is hard. At the same time, what would your life look like if you actually started believing that the God of the universe was on your side? And that the good shepherd who defines everything about this universe is the very one who wants to detail your life step by step. But he doesn't want to detail it in some information for you. He wants to detail it through revelation of who he is. Because more than you need to know what you think you need to know who he is. And his name is Jesus. Can we trust him today? Let's stand up all over this room. Let me pray for you before we sing. Father God, we give you this moment. I pray in Jesus' name that as we lift these words to heaven, that they're more than just words on a screen, but that they would be the cry of our hearts. We trust you, Lord. We trust you, the good shepherd, to define everything about what we don't know and everything about what we can't see. In Jesus' name, our lives are yours. And in Jesus' name, we hand ourselves over to the good shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church, let's sing together.
Thank you for listening to the Auburn Community Church Podcast. If you or someone you know has been impacted by the ministry of ACC, we want to invite you to share your story with us by emailing us at mystory@auburncommunitychurch.com. We encourage you to keep up with all God is doing at ACC by following along on Instagram, Facebook, and our website, auburncommunitychurch.com.